Bullfrog Spas has unheard of Black Friday pricing. Custom order the Bullfrog Spa of your dreams and save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the popular A-Series models. You want a hot tub sooner? A limited number of inventory spas are available today only. Those are sure to go fast. Visit Bullfrog Factory stores in Salt Lake, Orem, Harriman, North Ogden, Layton, Springville, Logan, and Bluffdale. If you're out there on your Black Friday shopping, get out to one of the Bullfrog locations and check out the amazing deals that they're going to have on those great spas. That's Bullfrog Spas. This Utah-Washington game has become really interesting. Obviously, there's some national interest as well. Originally, it was scheduled for an 8:30 kick, and then it was moved to the 5:30 time slot on ABC. So you've got the primetime slot on primetime television with this Washington Husky team. Utah fans should be thrilled. I'm excited because I love the ABC coverage, but this is going to be a really interesting game. Utah's got a lot to clean up, and I'll be interested to see how much they were able to prepare. Tony Castricone, the voice of the Washington Huskies, on with us. And Tony, has Washington been preparing for Utah?
I don't. In fact, we're going to have our radio coaches show with Jimmy Lake tonight, and then he's going to meet the media for his press conference here in about an hour. But, you know, I think early in the week, Washington was trying to get together with BYU. That was much publicized and talked about. And then, of course, Washington was trying to line up a non-conference opponent, given the fact that the Pac-12 is now free to do that. Although, I mean, it is tough. I see both sides of the argument. If you're trying to line up an opponent in non-conference play, it's tough to get somebody to agree to be second fiddle when they could get bumped by a league opponent later in the week. And then at the same time, of course, the Pac-12 wants to take care of their own. So that makes sense. But so Washington, you know, was considering BYU. I was hearing reports that they may have come to an agreement with San Diego State. Now last night they find out they're playing against Utah. So this will undoubtedly be a short week of prep for Washington and for Utah. But that being said, I think that this year a lot of that stuff kind of goes out the window. You know, I just feel like there's so many things. The team that's just able to adapt, and Jimmy Lake has said this, the team that's able to adapt and the team that's able to have the virus under control, those are the teams that are going to be the most successful. And so, you know, again, I know there's a lot about this game that's unconventional. I know that Utah came to Seattle last year, and folks might say, well, why are they doing that 2 years in a row and all that stuff? I mean, all I know is this. There's been a ton of work going on behind the scenes by the athletic directors, the football staffs, the television networks, everything that everybody can do just to try to find pairings that are executable. They don't always make sense, but they're executable, and that's why we've got this game in Seattle this Saturday. And I think we're happy and thankful to be playing it. And I suppose Utah probably is as well.
I think so. Yeah, I had an opportunity to watch that Washington Arizona game, and I had a good sense of Arizona because I was doing some film prep with them and USC. And so I felt like that was a really good Arizona team. I think Grant Gunnell's a good quarterback. And I felt like Washington ripped him in half. I felt like they had him kind of keyed in from the very jump. And I can't remember what the exact number was. I think it was 24-0 in the first half. Washington was just blowing the doors off Arizona, especially defensively. Kind of take me through Washington's defense. Are they veteran-laden? And who's leading that defense right now?
Yeah, great question. Well, 37-0 in the quarters. And all of Arizona's points came in the fourth. Most of their, I'd say, three-quarters of their yards came in the fourth. Washington's defense was elite the other night. And I think, you know, I think what we're always going to wonder is what would have been if the Pac-12 would have been able to boot this thing up a little bit sooner. Because once the Pac-12 canceled not the first but the second schedule, the 10-game conference-only schedule, the Huskies lost a couple to the NFL draft. Joe Tryon, who was a stud off the edge, Levi Onwuzurike, who's a big-time defensive tackle. Both those guys said, you know what, we're just going to concentrate on getting ready for the next level and opted out of this year of football. So those were some losses. And then also when you consider Liatu Latu, a starter off the edge, and Tuli Latuli Nasanoa, maybe the best defensive tackle on the team. Both those two have not played in the first two games of the year due to injury. So where I'm going with this is you could argue an entire starting front four is out for the defense right now, and they're still performing at this level. And that's just, you know, it's a credit to the depth that this defense has recruited over the years. It's a credit to the way it's been coached up by Jimmy Lake on the defensive side of the ball. But the strength of the defense is the secondary. I mean, the secondary is elite. Elijah Molden is an All-American candidate at the nickel position. They've got two pretty good lockdown corners on both sides of the field. And then the safeties are young but really coming along. They've got a new safety in Alex Cook. He's a converted wide receiver who I was surprised to see him become a starter this year, but he's really excelled at the safety position. And then the other safety is a true sophomore in Asa Turner, who they feel like even at 19, 20 years old, he's become a real leader on the defensive side of the ball and understands the game incredibly well. So the defense is just top-notch. And much like Utah, you know, I mean, I think this team, that's their brand of football, is they want to be physical, hard-nosed on the offensive side, but then defensively they want to be stout and a brick wall. And I think they've got the veteran, unlike this Utah team, they've got the veterans. They've got, you know, eight returning starters on that side of the ball, and that's maybe a little bit of an edge that they have on the youth when you compare defenses.
Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies, joining us. So Tony, I was doing a little bit of film work this morning, and I actually wrote the name down because I wanted to talk about him today. Tupuola Fatui. I don't know if this guy was kind of coined as the guy that would lead. I don't know if he's been fantastic all year or since he's been at Washington, but he definitely jumped out to me on film as a guy that could be a difference maker.
Yeah, no question. So Zion Tupuola Fatui was not supposed to be a starter this year. Talked about how, you know, we expected to have Ryan Bowman, who's a fifth-year senior. He is there on one of the edges, but then it was going to be Joe Tryon. Tryon opts out the NFL. Then we think it's going to be Liatu Latu. He's out with an injury, so Zion Tupuola Fatui ends up in there. And all he's done in the first two games is he has four sacks, two forced fumbles, and he would have had a fifth sack if he wasn't blatantly held on a play that did result in a 10-yard penalty. But he would have had a quarterback sack. And so, you know, I just think he's been a huge, huge benefit for this Husky defense to have that kind of presence on the edge. A guy who has a true freshman coming out of Pearl City, Hawaii, only played in a couple of games and had one tackle in 2018. Then last year as a redshirt freshman, I think only had nine tackles all year long. I can't honestly say, I know they were high on him, but I can't honestly say I thought his time was going to come here at the beginning of the season. But unquestionably, he has made the most of his opportunity.
Man, I'll tell you, that guy was everywhere. Yeah, total stud. I'm watching, and he forces you to watch him. Number 58 for the Utah fans out there getting ready to watch this Utah-Washington game coming up on Saturday. This guy is a guy that Utah is going to need to key in on because he is nasty in that backfield. When he gets past that first line, he's ripping quarterbacks in half. It did feel like, as I watched that game against Arizona, it really does feel like Washington's doing everything they can to try to take some of the pressure off of a freshman quarterback in that run game. But there's also some responsibility that's heaped on him. How has Dylan Morris, your freshman quarterback, handled it?
Yeah, really great. I mean, if you look at, you know, a redshirt freshman, just the third this century to start at quarterback at Washington as a freshman, joining Jake Walker and Jake Browning, two pretty good names.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been really solid. And he's shown a propensity to be able to really have a strong arm too. I mean, he throws some bullets over the middle. Really, if there's any knock on him in the first couple of games, it's that his deep balls don't have enough touch. They're maybe throwing a little too much on a line. But I think he's a heady quarterback who just knows where his guys are, when they're supposed to be there, and is just really quick at reading and making decisions. And he makes good decisions. And I think, you know, for a freshman to have played eight quarters of football and not have taken any sacks and not have any turnovers, that's remarkable. And granted, Washington's first two games were not against the best defenses in the Pac-12. Oregon State and Arizona have had their documented struggles on that side of the ball the last few years. But it wasn't FCS Eastern Washington, you know? Like, I mean, these are conference opponents, eight quarters, no sacks, no turnovers. I mean, that's exactly what you want out of a quarterback. And so, you know, he's allowed these great playmakers around him to make plays. They've got a stable of four really good running backs. They've got a great big offensive line. And they've got some talented young receivers on the outside. And so, you know, I just think this offense is only going to get better. I think the one question that I have, Hans, that I haven't quite figured out yet, is you just said they did a good job of putting an offense together to, you know, take some of the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
And what I haven't figured out yet is that what they were doing, or is this what they're going to be? I don't know. I mean, they want to be really multiple, two and three tight end sets, pro style. They want to run the football. They certainly want to, like, run to set up a vertical passing game. But I think that this is a football team that really wants to just grind it out and be physical and run the football. And so it should be interesting to see how this offense evolves over the course of this short season and certainly going into next year.
Well, talk to me about this because, Tony, I don't know a ton about Jimmy Lake. I'm not a I don't just don't know what is his identity. What when he came in, what did you guys identify him as?
Well, his whole career has been on the defensive side of the ball, and so this is the first time that he's really worked in a significant capacity with an offense. And he hired John Donovan, who was a running backs coach at the Jacksonville Jaguars, to come in and run a pro style offense. I mean, that's what he wants to be. Jimmy Lake has NFL experience. He wants to run a program that not only has great students, but also guys that are preparing to be professional athletes for a short window in their life. And I think, you know, he wants a lot of what they do to feel like an NFL program. I mean, he's even called their preseason scrimmages. He set up four very specific preseason scrimmages to be their preseason games. He's really trying to run it like a mini NFL program. And I think that what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball is trying to create that pro-style offense. They want to be multiple. They want to run first, but they want to do it to set up a passing game. And they just want to be physical and be maulers and really assert their will. And I think if you look at the box score, 37 minutes time of possession in both of the first two games, they've been able to do just that.
Big thanks to the play-by-play voice, Tony Castricone of the Washington Huskies, for coming on and giving us some insight on what to expect from Washington coming up tomorrow. 5:30 kick on ABC, primetime game for the University of Utah. I hope that they can get their offensive line woes fixed. I hope that Jake Bentley looks more fluid and more prepared as he's taken all the starting reps since Cam Rising suffering that season-ending injury. Hopefully Jake Bentley looks a little bit more confident in the pocket like he did as the game progressed. No question Bentley kind of gained that confidence as the game continued on, but as he came out to take over for Cam Rising, as Cam went down, it was a slow start. He looked like he was questioning every throw. And hopefully Jake Bentley can look better and this offensive line can do what I expect them to do, which is set a better pocket, give Bentley a minute to throw. And then hopefully Bentley understands that Brant Keithy and Brian Thompson need to be your first and second options, probably respectively. And as Lloyd pointed out, you hope that in that offensive backfield, if let's say Brumfield isn't getting it done for you and let's say Wilmore's not getting it done, maybe Ty Jordan is the guy. I'd like to see more carries go to the young freshman in Ty Jordan.
I think whoever pass protects better is going to probably get more of the love, right?
Yeah, I think it was Wilmore that was in that video review that I tweeted out.
Yeah, he's the one that got blown up.
As a running back, you've got to come up and be able to set that pocket. And we'll see if Ty Jordan could do that as well.
Real quick, by the way, this just went final. Number four, Virginia, upset by San Francisco. 61-60 in the Home Light Classic. WCC there.
You're talking about
basketball,
USF?
College basketball.
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about...
Yes, San Francisco.
West Coast Conference?
Yes, West Coast Conference, San Francisco, just upset number four, Virginia, 61-60.
You better check that again, because I saw them lose to UMass Lowell, last night.
Well, on my computer, it says there's 10 seconds left, but on my TV, it says final. In fact, they're interviewing the coach.
You've got to be kidding.
As we speak. So that just went down.
Virginia was a preseason rank and early rank number four. So West Coast Conference, San Francisco beating.
Good win for the conference right there.
Virginia, okay.
Well, that's a really good win for the conference.
Well, that's an amazing win for the conference, especially what we were talking a little bit earlier about Gonzaga, who was a preseason ranked number one and beat Kansas right out of the gates 102-90. So,
I don't know what Virginia's health situation was, COVID related, whatever. But still, if you got enough to run out a team out there, I mean, you should have enough to be able to get San Francisco, I would think.
Yeah, you would definitely think so. All right, we are at Built Bar. I'm sitting here with Brenna. Brenna,
hello.
We've talked about these amazing Black Friday offers and opportunities, but we need to spend, I know we've spent some time, we need to spend more time talking about the deliciousness of this white chocolate cookies and cream protein bar.
You just have to try it. You have to.
It's so creamy. It's so delicious. It's
so good.
It's I think it was probably similar to the cookies and cream middle that's in that chocolate cookies and cream, but they've coated it with the white chocolate, and it just hits better.
Yeah, you think like, okay, the cookies and cream is really good, the milk chocolate, and you're like, it can get really much better, and then it just does.
It does.
The creaminess, the texture, everything about it. I was obsessed.
I know I'm spending a lot of time with the white chocolate cookies and cream. I have not tried the white chocolate salted caramel.
Yeah.
But I have heard that the white chocolate salted caramel is
unreal.
Is it? It's up there too?
I love salted caramel. Okay. The salted caramel bar is one of my favorites. And then with the white chocolate, oh, it just is perfection.
Okay, so what is your favorite bar now? Because as you mentioned, they're... We're 18 flavors.
I know. It's so hard to pick. That's why I love the mix box, because depending on my mood, like maybe I want the cherry barcia in the morning, but maybe I want, you know, peanut butter brownie for lunch.
Yeah.
And I love the mix box for that, because it kind of, whatever I'm feeling that day, I can just grab. But the two white chocolate bars have definitely taken my favorite spot. Like the white chocolate salted caramel. Amazing, because I'm a peanut butter girl. I know.
Yeah, that's your favorite bar.
And now the white chocolate salted caramel is definitely my number one.
It's really?
Yeah.
The white chocolate salted caramel.
Yeah.
Even more than the white chocolate cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I love caramel.
Now I've got to get my hands on one of these chocolate salted caramels.
Yeah, it's so good.
By the way, in that bar, it's only 130 calories, and it's got that white chocolate that's so delicious. It's creamy. It's smooth. 17 grams of protein. We're not talking about a candy bar. We're talking about a protein bar. It probably sounds like we're talking about some type of designer
dessert,
you know, fresh dipped chocolate dessert.
Right.
We're talking about a protein bar that's packed with nutrients and vitamins and 17 grams of protein. And it's extremely low on the net carbs. I think, what is it,
four or five
grams of net carbs, depending on which bar you have. These bars are incredible. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. That's great for people that are out there counting their net carb intake.
Exactly.
All right, so what are people getting for Black Friday?
Okay, this is the best part, because not only do they get to try the two new flavors, the white chocolate cookies and cream or the white chocolate salted caramel, but on top of that, they'll also get to try a new exclusive bar for free. So with any purchase of any item, you'll get 2 free candy cane brownie bars, man. Which is unreal. They have real bits of candy cane in them. Delicious. 17 grams of protein. And then on top of the 2 free bars, they're also going to get 25% off. And then we're going to hook them up with an extra discount by using promo code ZONE.
Promo code ZONE. You get the extra discount on top of that 25% off for Black Friday. You've only got a couple of days to take advantage of this. Now, I do want to give you a heads up. We've got something really fun coming up for Cyber Monday. But this is the Black Friday event. Those candy cane brownie bars that come with every item purchased. The white chocolate cookies and cream. Please get on TriBox. I promise you, I would put my name and reputation on this. You will absolutely love those white chocolate cookies and cream. And Brenna's putting her name and reputation on the white chocolate salted caramel.
Yes.
You love that.
Yes.
So they are fantastic. Go to BuiltBar.com. Get the 25% off. Don't forget promo code ZONE for your extra discount. That's BuiltBar.com. Thanks, Brenna.
Thank you.
Good, Bad, and Ugly coming up.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, here's the good.
Bullfrog Spas has unheard of Black Friday pricing today, everybody. Custom order the Bullfrog Spa of your dreams and save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the popular A-Series model. You want a hot tub sooner? Limited number of inventory spas are available today only, Friday, November 27th, that are sure to go fast. We want you to get out to one of their factory stores in Salt Lake, Orem, Harriman, North Ogden, Layton, Springville, Logan, or Bluffdale. That is the amazing Bullfrog Spas. They're fantastic. Man, I'd love to get a spa. I'd love to have one of those spas outside my back door. Go jump in it during a cold day. All right, let's get to the good, bad, and ugly. The good today, you've got the match 2 that's going to be teeing off in about an hour and 20 minutes. Sorry, the match 3. The match 2, Lloyd, raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief. Remember, the first match was just Tiger Woods taking on Phil Mickelson. The second match was Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning beat Phil and Tom, but that match was able to generate $20 million for COVID relief. Now, the last time I looked, the match 3 had already built up just around $8 million, and, of course, they weren't even close to playing the match at that point. So hopefully, when this thing goes final, the match 3 will be able to generate that near $20 million that the match 2 generated. And this match, you're going to have all of that money go to individual colleges that were selected by the individual golfers.
I love that Phil has just taken this thing over. I love it.
No, you don't. Because, wait, you're not a lefty fan, are you?
No, I've actually become more of a lefty fan. I mean, there was something about him that and he wasn't huge on social media, but there was something about him, you know, the tipping of the cap nonstop that it just rubbed me wrong. He seemed so fake, but as he's allowed people in to his life a little bit with social media, and you see some of his funny videos and I'm telling you, the guy is, I've become a lefty fan. And it's sad because it's sort of the end of his career. And I'm like, God, where was this all the, you know, all this time? I don't feel like it was there. And there's a lot of lefty fans, a lot of people. I was never a lefty fan, but there's just something about him that always rubbed me wrong. Like, I felt he was fake. He had a almost like a Shooter McGavin feel to him, sort of. Like, you felt like, or maybe even, oh, you haven't seen this movie. I was going to say the guy on Tin Cup. The bad guy, and I'm going blank on what his name was on there, but he was played by Don Johnson. But there he is. You think he's a good guy, and he does all the right things that you're seeing. And this is the guy from Tin Cup, and you're seeing like, oh wow. And then all of a sudden, this little kid goes up to him and says, "Hey, will you take a picture? Can I have your autograph?" He goes, "No." And he goes, and the kid's sitting there with his grandparents, and he goes, "And that's an ugly dog." The grandparents are like holding up a dog, and nope, the cameras aren't seeing this, but You get a, and that's what I always thought of Phil. Uh-huh. That's what the feeling was of Phil. And I think I was wrong on Phil.
Well, are we going to get to see Phil's calves? Now, this is, of course, in Arizona. They are able to wear shorts. It's kind of fun because they're wearing shorts. They're doing their own thing. They're riding golf carts. So it's not the kind of uptight pro tour feel that you get when you tune in for golf. It's more of a casual, laid back. But there's also some serious nature to it because there are millions and millions of dollars that are attached to your charity. Could you imagine, Lloyd? Think about how funny this fun would this would be to identify a charitable organization and have an opportunity to win a golf match where you could possibly donate $8 or $10 million. That's them splitting the pot and donating to the individual universities that they've chosen to donate towards. But I think it would be a blast to be a part of something like that. And I think that these guys take it very seriously.
Absolutely. And think about this. You know, Phil is a degenerate when it comes to golf, to gambling on the golf course. He has thought about this. He's not going into this just thinking, oh, I'm going to lose. He's got something in his mind that tells him he can win if this happens, if something happens. Like, he's got this. He's got a plan. Don't you think? He's not going just to lose and just to raise money. Like, he's got it worked down in his head that this he can win with Charles.
No, see, everything points to Phil Mickelson winning this match. There's a couple of things that I identified this morning. Number one, Phil is not going to lose in back-to-back matches. He won't allow that to happen. This is his game.
Just feels like a sucker bet. It really does.
He's not going to allow a quarterback and an NBA player to come out onto his golf course that he owns, that he bought because he loves so much. He's not going to let that happen. The other thing that points to it, Vegas favors Peyton Manning and Steph Curry. Vegas is trying to get the money one way or the other. Phil Mickelson has it exactly the way he wants it. He wants to look like the underdog, and then he's going to come out and he's going to carry Charles Barkley. The other thing, I've actually got a golf insider. Well, they've got two golf insiders. And I don't typically give up my sources, but I'm going to give up one of my sources.
One might be Schmob. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Schmob. Schmasher?
Schmasper?
Schmasper? There we go. Schmasper.
So I do have a couple
Schmob.
Of golf insiders. And it was not Bob Casper that told me this, but it was my other golfing insider that told me that Charles Barkley is not going to be the ugly golfer that we think Charles Barkley is. The hitch and the ugly
play. I'm telling you, he's probably gotten some work, and all he's got to deal with is some irons.
They're going to figure this thing out. Plus, I think that the alternate game that they play, this Pinehurst alternate game that they're going to play, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fascinating. It'll be entertaining. So tune in at 1 o'clock on TNT. There you go. That's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
As good as BYU has played over their first two games in men's basketball, that's how bad the Aggies have played. Aggies lost for the second straight night at the Bad Boy Mowers Crossover Classic in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where Scotty currently is. They lost 83-59 to South Dakota State. South Dakota State, Lloyd, led by 20-plus points through most of the second half.
Yeah, that's no bueno. By the way, they should be 1-1. They should be 1-1 because they had that game against VCU.
Yeah, they did lose their first game to VCU. That would have been Wednesday night, I think.
It looked a lot more lopsided than it was because VCU just went on a run, and I watched a lot of that game while listening to a little Scotty G as well. Yeah. And I'm telling, like, all of a sudden something just it went wrong, and I'm not sure if it was a lineup change or what, but something, and they couldn't get the momentum back at all.
Well, they couldn't get any momentum going against South Dakota State. They were 36% from the field. They were 31% from three. And then you had South Dakota State, who was shooting the lights out. They were 57% from the floor. They were
And by the way, that's what South Dakota's, that's what they do. They're the, what are they, the Jackrabbits?
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, they're, that's the type of, I mean, that's the team that comes into the NCAA tournament, you know, and they shoot lights out and maybe they get like a win or two.
Well, they knocked down 15 three-pointers last night against Utah State. So it didn't matter what Nemias Keita was trying to do. Keita had 12 points, 8 rebounds. He had 3 assists, 3 block shots, and was doing everything he could, but it just didn't matter. And Utah State right now is getting ready for a game that's going to be tipping off at 2 o'clock. What time are you starting the pregame?
Pregame starts at 1:30 on 1280 a.m.
1:30, we're going to split the signals. Yep. I'll continue on 97.5 FM. Pregame for the Utah State game will be on 1280 a.m., and we'll take you right into the third game of the season for Utah State. Hopefully they can get off this 0-2 run that they're currently on. All right, there's your bad. Let's get your ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Another cancellation in Pac-12 play, and it's a real bummer because I wanted to see – I want to continue to see what USC really is. And both USC and Colorado, unbeaten, had an opportunity to see them on the field and probably in good play. But USC fell under the required number of scholarship players available at a certain position group as far as Pac-12 protocol is concerned, and they had to cancel that game. So Colorado has actually rescheduled with San Diego State, and USC-Colorado becomes the 9th cancellation in 4 weeks of Pac-12 play. 9th cancellation in 4 weeks.
Nine times.
This is 9 times, man. 9 times we've seen the cancellations in the Pac-12, and it's getting real frustrating. And obviously Utah's been a part of that. And fingers crossed that that 5:30 game against Washington does kick off tomorrow. I'm hoping, because I really want to see if Utah can rebound against a very good Washington team on national television. But 9 games have been canceled in the Pac-12 so far. I know that you've got the, well, fine, I'll just take my ball and go home. I'm just going to quit. I know you've got the voices out there that, why doesn't the Pac-12 just shut it down? This is the way I want all Utah fans to look at this season. Well, it's the way I look at it. You know, you can look at it how you want to look at it. This is the way I look at it. This Utah team was extremely young. You needed an extra spring practice or two. You needed an extra game or two or scrimmage or two. So I would look at the remainder of this season and it's an opportunity to see some young talent like Ty Jordan. We talked about Ty Jordan. Maybe a switchover talent like Nephi Sewell, who's moved from safety up to outside linebacker. To look at, you know, some of your growing talent, even some of your more veteran talent. Look at this year as an opportunity to give them more reps, more experience to get ready for the 2021 season.
An extended spring ball.
That's what it is.
Absolutely. You know what? And you're spot on with this, Hans. It should be. And don't worry about your – I don't even care if you go 0-4. Whatever. That does not matter at all. This is all about looking towards next season, building on that, and – you know, see what you have. I'm bummed out you're not going to see Cam Rising. That's a bummer part of not seeing him in this, you know, essentially what we're calling it now, a spring ball.
Yeah.
That's a bummer because he had a throw, an out to Cole Fotheringham, I want to say, that was under pressure, that was on the money, and that just that throw itself made me think this guy has something. This is why they went with him. Because he can make those types of throws.
Yeah, now being out is
and so that's a bummer. But
yeah,
you got to see.
He is the one guy that you really wanted to see the reps
from. But you got a lot of other areas that now that you can really work on.
Yeah. So that's how I would take it. That's how I'm taking it. As I evaluate these games, I'm looking at youth. I'm looking at the guys that will probably return. And remember, every single player on that football field is eligible to return for 2021. So you need to look at it that way as well. Even if they've got the S by their name, it doesn't matter what year in eligibility they are. Every single player has an opportunity to return for the 2021 season.
Nobody's job is safe, by the way. Like, you can lose your job very easily. I mean, I just want to see what you have.
I do,
everywhere.
Too. And I do, I'm I'm hopeful that Utah continues to get healthy and you see all the starters out on the field coming up tomorrow against Washington. All right, there you go. There's your good, bad, and ugly. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back to Whole World News next. This is Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
Whole World News brought to you by EliteWorks. Do you have a current website? Do you need to lower the cost? Do you need a CRM or online selling ability? It's EliteWorks every single time. Go to EliteWorks.com or call 844-523-2777. The web builder, that is EliteWorks. We're grateful to EliteWorks and them being a great partner of the show. Truly, if you need a website, if you need to better your website, there's only one place to go, and that is EliteWorks at 844-523-2777. All right, we've got an interesting Whole World News for you, and I want to kind of paint the picture of what happened in the Czech Republic over the weekend, over last weekend. Of course, the news just getting here to us on Whole World News. So, Lloyd, a man in the Czech Republic was out with his dog and his rifle and was hunting deer. And as he's traipsing through the hillsides looking for a deer to harvest, his dog stirred up a deer that was about 30, 40 feet away. It kind of caught the deer off guard. It caught the hunter off guard. It caught the dog off guard. Well, this big buck, instead of running up the mountainside, turned towards the hunter and attacked him. And as he came at him, he dropped his horns, and the hunter took his rifle and shoved it towards the deer, and the rifle stuck into the antlers of the deer. The deer turned with the gun stuck in its antlers and ran.
Wait, he took his gun?
The deer, in one swipe, Lloyd, took the gun from the hunter's
hand. Disarmed him.
And ran up the mountainside. Now, you got to understand that in the Czech Republic, they've got some forms of gun control. And if you lose a gun or have a gun taken from you in the Czech Republic, you have to instantly report it to authorities. So this man embarrassingly had to go in and report it to police that a deer had stole his gun. Now, here's the funny thing. They actually got an eyewitness account of another hunter that had that deer in his scopes that had the gun attached to his hand.
Stop it.
This is a true story. A guy came in and reported that he had scoped a deer, did not take the shot because he didn't have a good shot, but that he reported that there is a deer running around the wild with a gun in its antlers.
Why does this remind me of, like, Croc Dundee? Remember when he's got the gun and he's got the kangaroo and he's shooting the lights out? And the guy's got it in the scope and he sees the kangaroo with a gun and he's like, wait, what?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I love Whole World News because you never know what's happening around the world. But for a deer to steal a hunter's rifle, to run away with it, have another hunter sight it in and see a deer with a gun in its antlers, you just can't make these things up. They're just too good. Sometimes, you know, you want to see those animals get a victory. And this was a very nice victory for a deer in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, because the guy's got to go explain, hey, yeah, a deer unarmed me. He took my gun.
Have you ever lost a fishing pole? I've lost two fishing poles. Have you ever lost a fishing pole?
I have not. I have not had that happen where I lost the fishing pole, where the fish took the line and the rod somehow went with it.
So I've lost two. And one time...
It was painful?
Both times it was painful because the fishing rods are pretty expensive.
Well, and that not only that, but I got to imagine that's a pretty good-sized fish that if it's gonna take your rod.
Well, we were trolling it out at Strawberry, and just my pole just flipped end over end into the water. Took the other pole and tried to cast over the top of it. I was with my buddy and tried to cast over the top of it and hook it. But I've lost a couple of poles. So a couple of fish out there getting wins. But there you go. Whole World News. We appreciate Elite Works for bringing it to us. I'm here at Built Bar live on a Black Friday with Brenna.
Hello.
And Brenna, I know that you went out. You went into the laboratory. Did you go to the laboratory? This whole facility, the kitchen, the laboratory, it's incredible.
Yeah,
the whole operation is here.
I know, it's cool. It's all in house, so it's really cool. If you need to go back to the factory and like change something for a batch, you can. If you want to make a new flavor for the day, everyone can try it and put their input in. It's really cool building. I love it.
It is so cool, and I'm just so proud of Built Bar right here. And good old, this is considered American Fork, right?
Yeah.
Because I know American Fork and Lehigh have some blurred lines.
Yes.
So we're in American Fork, beautiful new facility. Everything is produced right here. It's not shipped overseas. It's not, you know, made and packaged somewhere else and shipped to you. It is made right here in American Fork and shipped all over the country. And our good, proud Utahns work here, make a living here. And it's just fun to see a local product like this blow up
it's
on the scale that it's blown.
It's so cool to see the journey that they went on and them becoming the fastest growing protein bar like in the country. It's insane because they're brand new.
Yeah.
They're a brand new company.
Brand
it's
new.
Crazy.
But it is crazy. And I can see why people are going berserk over these bars.
Right. I mean, after you taste them, it's like, well, yeah, of course.
You just can't find a bar like this. Yeah. A protein bar like this that has a net carb of 4. Most of the bars are 4. Yeah. Some are 5, depending on what bar you get.
Yeah.
But you get these incredible net carbs. You get low calories, 120 or so calories per bar. But then you get the great flavor.
The flavor.
And the high protein.
Is amazing.
17 grams of protein.
That's huge.
And great flavor.
Yeah.
And real chocolate.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because these bars are so good. They're so delicious.
Yeah.
And this, we're going to talk about this white chocolate cookies and cream bar that's a Black Friday special.
Yeah.
It is so good that when you bite into it, you think to yourself, there's no way this is healthy.
There's no way.
There's no
way. It's so good.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It still doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how they do it.
But it is a great protein bar. So, Brenna, I want you to tell them what they're going to get for Black Friday, how to take advantage of these deals.
Okay, I love this because they came out with two new flavors, the white chocolate cookies and cream and white chocolate salted caramel. So usually these are, you know, just regular milk chocolate, but the white chocolate really takes it over the edge. Like you said, they just, when you think they can't get better, they do. And so if you want to try the new white chocolate bars, you will also get two free candy cane brownie bars. The candy cane brownie flavor is also a new flavor, and they're going to throw two of those in with every item purchase, which is amazing. And then on top of that, you're going to get 25% off all products all weekend long. And then we're also hooking you guys up. If you use the promo code ZONE, you'll get an extra percent off, the 25% off. So it's really such a great deal. And if you're looking for, you know, a meal replacement bar or just something healthy that tastes great that you don't have to choke down, you know, plug your nose and like just battle through it, this is really the best.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. You know, and if you, like I was thinking about this. Everybody out there might have that sweet tooth. I've got the sweet tooth. And
I do.
And I grew up eating chocolate, and my mom owned a chocolate factory.
Oh,
and so chocolate is my life. And I'll get this craving after I eat, especially when I'm trying to eat healthy, like a good salad or grilled chicken. So after a salad or grilled chicken, and you've got that craving that kicks up, you can eat this protein bar, packed with protein. It limits the calories. It limits the sugars. It limits the carb intake. But you get that amazing impact of chocolate.
And it satisfies that sweet tooth craving that I have around 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah.
I know. It hits me too, Brenna. Yeah. I want everybody to go to BuiltBar.com. 25% off your order for Black Friday. Plus, when you use promo code ZONE, an extra percent off for promo code ZONE. Plus, they're going to put these candy cane brownie bars in every single item purchased order. So get yourself out to BuiltBar.com, take advantage of this discount, and try these bars that every one of us loves. For every occasion, these bars are amazing. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code ZONE. Craig Bowler-Jack, the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, joins us next.